O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray you so to open our hearts by your Holy Spirit that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe in Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Welcome to all of you to the worship service today, and this is the fifth Sunday of the Easter season, which we continue to praise the Lord and celebrate the fact that we have a living Redeemer who's with us day by day to bless us with the gospel and all that is, all the blessings that come through that gospel, forgiveness, life, and salvation. We pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, but we've disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you, to you our hearts we raise. Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify.
Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Therefore, grant to your people that they may love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the manifold changes of this age, our hearts may be ever fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First lesson for our service this morning on the fifth Sunday of Easter is drawn from 1 Peter in the second chapter, verses 4 through 10. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Here ends the first lesson. Join now in reading responsibly the Easter acclamation. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. The Lord is risen indeed.
I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. No one comes to the Father except through me.
death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. I am the vine, you are the branches, says the Lord. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing.
This is God's commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us.
By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Our second lesson is drawn from the Gospel according to St. John, reading in the 14th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed, found on the last page of the liturgy insert. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for consideration today we find recorded in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, verses 1 to 12. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As his custom was, Paul went into the synagogue and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Christ, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and not a few prominent women. But the Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They're all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil, and they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the brothers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. So far the text. The name of our risen Savior, dear friends, the book of Daniel the prophet, we're told about a very remarkable incident from the life of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. This was during the time that God's people were living there in captivity in that foreign land, having been deported from their home country, Palestine. Their hopes in the coming Messiah king seemingly dashed to smithereens. Daniel tells us how God caused Nebuchadnezzar to have a dream in which he saw standing in front of him an enormous, luminescent, scary to look at statue. Statue had a head made of pure gold. Its chest and arms were of silver. Its stomach and hips, bronze. Its legs, iron. And its feet, a mixture of iron and clay. As Nebuchadnezzar was looking up at this soul-unnerving colossus of a statue, he saw a stone being cut out from a nearby mountain, not by human hands. And he watched as the stone struck the feet of the statue, broke them in pieces. And then the whole statue, all of its parts, were pulverized and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summertime. And then a wind blew in, blew it all away, leaving nary a trace. But that rock that hit the statue and pulverized it became like a mountain which kept expanding and filling the entire earth. Quite a dream. Nebuchadnezzar thought so. In fact, it was to him like a nightmare. Deeply troubled him, so he summoned all of his astrologers and sorcerers, and he demanded from them that they tell him the meaning of his dream. But none of them could. "There's not a man on earth, O king," they said, "who can do what you ask. No ruler, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What you ask of us is too hard. No one can reveal it to you except the gods, and they don't live among men." To make a long story short, Daniel, and I might mention after the astrologers and sorcerers couldn't do what the king asked, he had them all executed and was going to do that with all of his advisors. To make a long story short, Daniel, the prophet of the true and living God, who had been serving as an advisor to Nebuchadnezzar, was granted ability by God to interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He entered into his presence, into the royal palace, and said, "Your Majesty, God has revealed to me the meaning of your dream. It has to do with events that are going to go on in the future. Each part of the statue you saw stands for a world power. The head of the statue, made of pure gold, that's you. God has made you very rich and powerful. But your rule will be supplanted by another kingdom, signified by the silver chest and arms. Another one will rise to power, pictured by the bronze stomach and hip section. And then a fourth will arise on the stage of world history, symbolized by the iron legs. Its dominance also will be short-lived. And at the time when this fourth world power is in its heyday, the Lord is going to establish a kingdom that will surpass all others in magnificence and that will never have an end. And that is the rock you saw cut from the mountain, not made by human hands, which smashed the statue and filled up the whole earth." Secular history bears out what the Lord revealed to Daniel in that dream. After the Empire of Babylon collapsed, the Persians came to power under Cyrus. Greece then dominated for a time under Alexander the Great and his successors. And then the Roman Empire was established. And it was during the time of the Romans that the King of Kings was born on earth at Bethlehem to be our Savior from sin and death and hell, to destroy all his foes and to establish his gracious, loving reign in hearts. People all over the world, through the preaching of his mighty resurrection gospel. In our sermon, we see an example of this. We're going to receive encouragement in the calling the Lord has given to us as his ambassadors, the promise that there's no stopping the resurrection gospel in a world where earthly nations come and go, political regimes rise and fall. Christ's kingdom, of which we are all a part by faith, keeps spreading and growing and will go on forever. "You will receive power," Jesus said, "when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth." That's what the Lord told his disciples. You probably remember the story how he told them that shortly before he went up into heaven. In the book of Acts, we hear how he enabled his little band of 12 disciples and a few apostles like Paul to serve as witness bearers of the good news of Jesus in an ever-widening circle beginning at Jerusalem and radiating outward to the uttermost parts of the world. Our text provides an example of this, a couple examples. The year is approximately AD 50. Paul and Silas were preaching God's word in the province of Asia, and they are planning to carry the gospel from there up into Bithynia, which is along the southern coast of the Black Sea. But it didn't happen because of a vision that God caused Paul to see. Not a scary one, but a real beautiful one of a man who was standing in front of Paul and pleading with him to come over to Macedonia and help him and his fellow countrymen on the European continent. So recognize that as a nudge from Jesus to go and preach the gospel in Europe. Paul boarded a ship, sailed across the Aegean Sea, landed at the seaport town of Neapolis, and from there he went inland to the metropolis of Philippi, shared the gospel at Philippi. Remember the story of a lady named Lydia, a businesswoman who was a manufacturer of purple fabric, who was led to put her trust in Christ and was baptized with her whole family. And also the Lord shared the gospel through Paul with that Philippian jailer who was led to put his trust in Christ and baptized with his family. And then we come to our text where we hear of Paul's mission outreach work farther south in Macedonia, Thessalonica. The Lord's word met with great success in that city as well. Many of Paul's fellow Jews became believers, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks. And there was that man named Jason who was so happy to hear the message of the crucified and risen Savior that he offered to let Paul and Silas lodge at their house rent-free. And all these wonderful things happening, people brought into the spiritual edifice of the Holy Christian Church in the face of seeming insurmountable odds and stiff opposition. At Thessalonica, some men, as we heard in our text, they grew jealous of Paul and the success of the gospel. They rounded up some bad characters from around town, formed a mob, gave great opposition to Paul, started a riot in the city. And they rushed over to Jason's house to grab Paul and Silas to bring them out and harass them publicly, but when they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and his friends out before the city officials. You know that no good rabble-rouser, Paul and Silas, his partner, who came here to town defying Caesar's decrees, saying there's another king called Jesus. Jason letting them stay at his house. So Jason and his friends were then forced, as we read in our text, to post bail money so that they might be released. And under cover of darkness, that very night, they secreted Paul and Silas away so that they could share the resurrection gospel of Christ in another city, Berea. And our text informs us about how many living there received the gospel with eagerness. Those who heard it were led, and they're lifted up in the scriptures as a great example for all of us as Christians. They dug into the scriptures, searched it to verify that what Paul told them about Jesus was true. Again, in the face of stiff opposition, the rock of the Holy Christian Church continued to expand. The Lord continues to make that happen. He has down through the centuries of time. Let us be reminded, friends, that it is true also in our day. We were reminded of this 2 weeks ago on our Front Range Mission Festival Sunday, of the success the resurrection gospel is having in our overseas missions in places like Tanzania, India, Nepal, Myanmar, in our domestic mission fields as well, so that two of them are getting off or are already off mission subsidy, the mission churches in Detroit, Michigan, and Tacoma, Washington. And let's be reminded also that we are living proof that there's no stopping the resurrection gospel. The Lord used it to make you a living stone in his church. When you were a little child, in your baptism, he used his powerful word connected with the water to bless you with faith in your Savior. Or maybe it happened later on in your life, and the Lord brought you in touch with his word and used it to work faith in your heart that trusts Christ's work in your behalf as the work he did for you, your only Lord and Savior, as your good shepherd who gave his life for you, his sheep. Continues to use that gospel word that we hear and learn, that we search and study, that we ponder and reflect on as we go through our day, uses that word that we hear in Bible class, here in church, in our Lord's Supper celebrating, in our personal Bible reading, to bolster and bless us with staying power for continuing our walk of faith towards the mansions that Jesus has gone to prepare specially for us when this brief life ends its course. Yeah, we may feel sometimes, don't we, as Christians, like fish swimming against the current, against powerful, gushing current, the raging rivers of ungodliness in our unbelieving society whose moral fabric is being ripped apart at the seams more and more with every passing day. And that makes us, as God's Christians, inwardly, perhaps sometimes outwardly, groan and cringe and wince. The world shouting in our ears through the media and through academia, why do you Christians spend so much time? Why do you parents think it's so important to expend your time and energy to teach your children about a Savior who died on a cross and who supposedly rose from a grave? The teachings of the Bible, they're just dusty relics of an outmoded past. You're backward-looking people, you Christians. Why do you set your hearts on things above that you can't even see? Why do you teach these things? Your children, things that have to do with life in a world they can't even see. Teach them things that have to do with life in the real world. The world doesn't get, never will, but you do, thanks to the Lord's gracious working in your hearts, through the resurrection gospel, is that this world is not the real one. Yeah, it's as real as the steam that rises from the kettle on your stove when you're cooking in the kitchen. It's there, but very soon, poof, it's gone. That's what the world doesn't get. But you do, by God's grace, through the gospel message of Christ crucified and risen, he's helped you to see and understand and know beyond shadow of a doubt, Jesus is your real Savior from sin and death and hell. His gospel promises to you are real, trustworthy. He really is reigning as King of Kings, working behind the scenes of world events, including the ones, like I mentioned before, that sometimes make us cringe and wince and groan in such a way, just like in the days of Daniel, so that they serve for the eternal blessing of his blood-bought people, the members of his church, his sheep and lambs who follow him and who listen to his voice. Rejoice in this, friends. Find joy and peace in this amidst life's daily, sometimes energy-sapping, stressful tasks, that you are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. And as you share the resurrection gospel with others in your daily walk of life, as the Lord blesses you with opportunities, he will bless souls with that same faith in a living Redeemer who makes them citizens of his worldwide kingdom here on earth, and who will finally invite them to reign with him in the glories of his eternal heavenly realm for his mercy's sake. So then, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus constant will remain. Gates of hell will never against that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, it shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, all thanks and praise to you for sending your Son into the world, not to be served, but to serve, giving his life as a ransom for many, and for declaring him to be your Son in power by his resurrection from the dead. Grant to us a sure and certain trust in him, that we may always possess the blessed promise of eternal life. Give us the assurance that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting for those who know you through your Son. Give us confidence that there's no changing or shadow of turning in all your kindness and compassion, for you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, dear Lord, for the gift of your church and for the fellowship that we share with our fellow believers. Give us a rich measure of your Holy Spirit, that we may be preserved in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Give us steadfast obedience to your holy will in every aspect of our lives. Protect us from our enemies and prosper us in all our labors for you. For the gifts of family and home, we give you our thanks, O God. Let your Spirit dwell in each household so that love and peace, joy and consolation, strength and virtue may live there. And where sin and dissension may arise, grant to the members of each home a spirit of forgiveness and patience, since you have been forgiving and patient towards us, your children in Christ. We give you our thanks for the gift of the country where we live, dear Lord. Guard our nation from all who would overthrow it by strife and rebellion. Preserve it of your mercy by defending it against all who would bring it to shame and reproach by reason of sin. Dear Lord, for the gifts of our daily bread and all the needful things you provide for us in abundance, we give you our thanks. For the blessings of health and healing, education and opportunity, for friends and family, for the beauties of the earth and the wondrous marvels of the heavens, we thank you. Help us now and always to receive your gifts with gratitude. Hear our prayers, and finally receive us into everlasting fellowship with you and with your only Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. We also join in praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We sing the next hymn. Thank you. The liturgy continues on page 17. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
the Holy Lord God of Sabaoth adored, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lamb of God, O Christ, shed true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy and grant us your peace.
May be seated, and the communicants may come forward as the usher directs. The liturgy continues in the top of page 20.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace. A light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
Heart has now come your dwelling, blessed Holy Trinity. With angels are your praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.